This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's hear what Mike Brown said last night. This courtesy of our guy Matt George and our friends over at ABC 10 here.
We can't afford to not pay attention to the details, especially when you play a good team. And I somehow
we're not going to do that. I'll find a different clip.
Oh wait, you found it? Here it is. You can't afford.
Nope. That's not it.
To get down.
That's not even close.
Early to good teams.
That's not even.
My guys.
That's not accurate at
they
all.
They have to recognize you have to be ready to go. Get on the offensive boards.
Do you think that sounds like him?
Hey,
see, you're not.
Hey, Grant, I see you. Let's go. Grant. State championship. Let's go.
You're not going about this the right way, Kenny. It's not great right now, but if you put in the work, this could be probably one of your better ones.
I do not hear.
I see the vision. It's not great. Like, this kid would probably sit on my bench as far as impersonations. He's coming off the bench.
Kobe Jones. He's Kobe Jones right
now. Yes, he's got potential.
I thought Kobe played
the thing with the glasses.
You see, there's talent there.
No, the thing with the glasses is kind of funny. So here's Mike. This is from Sean Cunningham. There's no edits on this, but I gotta imagine it sounds
obviously
better.
A tough loss. Here we go. You know, they went zone, and I thought we weren't aggressive enough. I thought their zone kind of got us back on our heels, and our level of aggressiveness was not there. Having said that, I thought we had some decent looks. DeMar caught an 8-footer, and he was wide open, and it goes in and out. Foxy got to his floater, and it goes in and out. I think Domas might have missed one, too. I probably, you know, if I would have done it all over again, I would have stayed with the same crew. If we got those same looks. If we didn't, I would have definitely thrown Doug in the game at that time or a little sooner. I thought Keon was doing a hell of a job defensively. And that's why we stayed the way we stayed. But at the end of the day, you know, our biggest thing we told these guys is two biggest things: they're the best team in the league in transition, and we did a decent job with that. But just like I talked about us locking into the small details for 48 minutes. The thing that hurt, they scored 76 points in the paint. Mm. 76 points in the paint. And this is where our team needs to grow sooner than later. We have to lock in. We have to lock into the details. And we got back cut more times in this one game than probably we got back cut all year. And it's because our guy on the bottom side ball watched. And the thing about it is, you guys won't see any of that in the stat sheets. You won't see back cut. after back cut. After back cut. I'm not going to say the 26 times, but you won't see the back cut in the stat sheet. And until our guys understand that it's about embracing the details for 48 minutes, we're going to be a good team, but we're not going to be where we need to go. The back cuts tonight, especially play after play after play after play, were inexcusable. First three or four, okay, maybe. And it wasn't always a back cut for a layup. It was a back cut sometimes for a rebound, too. And that's the next level we all have to take, especially our starting five. Starting with Fox, Malik, DeMar, Keegan. We can't afford to not pay attention to the details, especially when you play a good team. And I somehow, some way, have to do a better job of getting that across to my group. We can't let the Denver Nuggets come in here and score 76 points in the paint when they're not throwing the ball to Jokic 55 times. Give a lot of credit to the Nuggets. They came out, they did what they were supposed to do, and they found a way to get a win.
That was 3 minutes and 50 seconds, Mike Brown uninterrupted without a question last night.
Everything he said was spot on.
Somehow, some way. That's what Mike just said right there.
I feel like...
Hold on 1 second. Somehow, some way, I've got to figure out a way to get through to these guys that we've got to pay attention to detail. Somehow, some way. You know what that says to me? I don't know what else to do.
That's exactly what I was going to say right now. Feels like a cry for help.
Somehow, some way, I'm going to put this on me, but I don't know what else to do. He stopped short of throwing his guys under the bus by going, how many times have you heard me say this year? Mike, we're paying attention. We've heard you. We've heard you. Somehow, some way, I've got to get these guys to listen. All right. I hear you, Mike.
It's shades of...
Don't say it.
No, it is, though.
I'll say it if you don't, because I think we're on the same page.
I know exactly what you guys are thinking.
Luke Walton saying, I'm just asking these guys to defend for two dribbles, or I don't know if I'm good or not, but they won't do the things that I'm telling them to do.
What were you going to say?
That we're cooked, bro.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at.
You know, like, this is why, even with Luke, and I'll say it with Mike Brown or whatever, like, there's only so much a coach can do and say. My man, C. Silva in the chat keeps talking about he's tired of hearing Mike Brown's excuses. Why won't he talk about why they're not ready to play? Because he's not going to throw these guys under the bus and say it's their fault. Like, it's their fault. Offensive rebounds, being down 24-6 or whatever, that's on the players. That's on you guys. That's not Mike Brown's job to get you ready to play. Mike Brown's job is to come up with a scheme, and his coaches, to come up with a scheme the best that they can to have you ready schematically to understand what's going on out there. The energy, the offensive rebounds, the being ready to be in a help side defense, team defense, being in a stand. These are things that you learned when you were 6 and 7 years old, 12, 13 years old. All those guys have played enough basketball where the bare basics of what he's asking them to do, number one, shouldn't have to be reiterated. Mm-hmm. And number two, he shouldn't have to prepare them every day to say, hey, be in help defense. Be ready for the back door.
Yeah. Well,
this is their issue to fix. And like you just said, he said, I'm out of answers. I've told them a number of different times. I've told them repeatedly where we have to get better.
Yeah.
And we're having the same issues over and over again. I don't have no more answers. It's not on me no more.
We're hearing this answer from him too in different versions, but repeatedly now, as far as them needing to focus and all that. Like, he said it many different ways, but it's all the same message at this point, the last few weeks too.
Yeah.
And Secure and the Bagley, our guy, said they don't move on offense. They don't move when a shot goes up on defense and all this other stuff. Like, this is the stuff. And, like, last, I remember Bagley, Secure and the Bagley was saying something about me where he's like, oh, sometimes Kenny speaks like, you know, he's never watched a game or whatever. These are the things that you understand when you play the game. Don't nobody need to tell you that. This is not. A coach has to remind you to move. These are things that you have done. These guys on the court have done for the last 20 years, every single day. It's ingrained in them. It is the bare basics. Move without the basketball. On the defensive end, locate your man, box out, attack the boards. Don't stand there and watch. If you're standing straight up doing nothing, you're doing something wrong. Mm. You should be either communicating, moving, both, all the entire time on the defensive end. These are things they need to be reminded of that. No, they don't. This is what you do. And if it's not happening, that's something that you got to correct yourself as a player and as your teammates. They have to be better. They have to be better.
Yeah, but maybe they're just not capable.
There's that too.
Which, if they're not, man, that opens up the door. That opens up the door for some real crappy conversations. I said this a couple of weeks ago, man. Did we really just have 1 year? Is that really what this was?
I don't think this team is far off, though.
I don't think they are either.
I don't think it's like the bleakest of situations where we're probably headed towards firing.
This
stuff.
Isn't
like, you could fix it.
Yeah, this isn't Alvin and Buddy here.
Yeah.
That's not what this is.
Right.
It, which is what makes it more disappointing. Mm-hmm. It's a good basketball team, but like what? I don't know. I don't know.
I agree with both of you guys that this is, I think they're still a good team. They're a talented team. They are still able, right? And I'm not at the point where I see them consistently not execute and say that they're just not ever going to be able to execute this year. I still look at, you know, this is a team that can go on some type of, not run where you win in 20 straight, but hey, they've won 12 of their last 16. Like, I think they're capable of that. And I think they can turn their fortunes around. But they've got to start showing that, like, now.
Okay, I think they're not far off either, but that's a Monty McNair thing to fix. It's not something I think these group of guys are going to be able to fix. Not the starting guys, but, like, you need depth and all that. Monty's got to fix it. That's where you come out of this. I don't think you do it with this group of guys.
That's a little bit of a problem.
Okay, so let's... Mike... Jesse says other guys. This is all going to make sense when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You can't be throwing flags during King's Talk. It's serious right now.
We're throwing flags during commercial breaks. I know there's something here you want to talk about. Let's go to our man TGKPJ. He says DeRozan needs more blame.
What's his name?
TGKPJ.
What?
He said, that's what it is. He says DeRozan needs more blame.
I disagree, TGK. I mean, I think I saw something last night where people were like, yeah, we might have to start talking about DeRozan going to the bench. All right. Like, what are we even talking about? Why? Why? Now, has DeRozan been perfect? No. Has DeRozan ever been a perfect player? No. He's got shortcomings and he's got flaws. This is going on with the Sacramento Kings and not that of DeMar DeRozan's. And I think you're going deep down the line
before you talk about any problems that DeMar DeRozan is having right now. So, TGKPG.
All the damn acronyms on this show, I swear to God.
Please explain either in the chat or call on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, and explain why DeRozan needs more blame. Or anybody can do that if you feel that TGK is correct. Because I don't.
We were talking before the commercial, and Jesse said this team isn't far away. We all agree that this team isn't far away. And Jesse is of the belief that Monty and Wes, we need to upgrade this.
Correct, Monty and Wes. I need to do that more.
Thank you. Monty and Wes need to upgrade this, the bench, mm-hmm. which has been a sore point. Part of the reason, too, I think the bench has been a sore spot for Sacramento is they can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Whether it was Malik as a second unit guy being injured, whether it was DeMar, I think Domas missed games. Now you've got Kevin in and out of the lineup, and we've got Keegan with this mysterious injury.
Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles, yeah. Trey Lyles dealing with what he's dealing with. I think that partly affects, you know, the second unit. That partly affects the bench. But I think another important part is if the front office is going to go acquire someone, it has to be someone that, for lack of a better term, Mike's really into. It can't be one of these things like a higher quality Kessler Edwards where Mike goes, we'll try to figure it out. Like, remember how everyone was hyped for Sasha? And Mike was like, I don't know if Sasha's going to play.
You're a league MVP.
And we're like, what? It turns out he was serious. I don't know. Like, I can't tell you the dude sucks during practice, but I'm seeing stuff y'all aren't seeing. I don't know if this dude going to play or not. Yeah. I need someone who steps off the plane, and Mike is there, and he says, my brother, with his arms outstretched and hugs him like De'Aaron did Domas in that, I think it was Wizards game or whatever it was, my man. And there's no question who this fictitious new king is and what he's going to be able to be. He needs to be, if Jesse is correct, or if anybody who is suggesting that the Sacramento Kings need to go make moves to get better, need to bolster that second unit to get better, that's perfectly fine. I need someone who has Malik Monk levels of trust with Mike Brown, or Mike Brown has Malik Monk levels of trust with them, to where it's not a question of what they're going to be doing on a night-to-night basis. It's, no, this guy's playing 20-some-odd minutes a night. That's Mike's guy right there.
How often have we even seen that?
Well, so look. Here we
Malik.
Go. I'm glad you. I'm
well,
glad
yeah,
you
there's
went.
The one.
I'm glad you went there, because that might be a problem in itself. Because one of the guys, Jesse, was JaVale McGee. That was a Mike Brown. Hey, bring him in. JTA was another. Juan Toscano-Anderson was another. Hey, bring him in. Mike loved Davion Mitchell when he first got here. I'm not saying the guy doesn't know talent or anything else like that, but his track record isn't that good. When people say, this is my kind of guy. None of them have panned out.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. And we don't even know how he feels about, well, both of them, to be honest with you, about Keon, the one that has worked out. And you know what I thought about? Not saying that this would help things entirely. And I was sitting here and I was just thinking about this. We haven't talked about it. I don't know if he would have helped or not. But what the hell happened to J-Mac? What happened to Jordan McLaughlin?
Great question.
What the hell happened?
Can't get minutes.
We going to go to Kobe Jones instead of him?
What you want me to do?
What happened? Yo, he just disappeared. He just disappeared.
Was JTA?
We were talking about this dude playing. Like, being a part of the rotation before the season started. Mike must have listened to this show and said, can you get a load of these jackasses? Pushed his glasses up. These jackasses over here. What were you going to say, Jesse?
Was JTA, like, that's a Mike Brown guy. Was he, when he signed, he wasn't expected to do anything, really, though?
I don't know.
That's the thing,
no
too.
Idea.
We keep
he was
bringing
fine
in,
when he was here.
We keep bringing in Chris Duarte's and Crowder's and McDermott's, too. Like, fringe guys at this point.
I don't know
McDermott
who a Mike.
Well last night.
I don't
did.
Know who a Mike Brown guy is. Well, he just hit shots, right? Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, not
that's,
to be critical. No, that's all we're talking job. About. Just
yeah,
hit
that's
shots.
That's what he needed, yeah.
That's his job. I don't. Well, we got a problem because we don't know who Mike Brown guys are.
No.
And we do know who Monty McNair guys are. And they're getting old quick, not literally. No pun intended.
Well, actually, yes, literally, they are getting old quick. Like, Devin Carter's going to debut as a 31-year-old. And as Soren says, talking about Mike Brown guys, wasn't Terrence Davis, I'll tell you that.
That was a Monty McNair fine.
Mike treated Terrence Davis like he was seven. and Terrence, to his credit, responded every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing that I'll say about, you know, what Jesse has said, and like I said, I don't think Jesse's wrong or anybody who says that is wrong about needing help off the bench. But there's twofold. Number one, you kind of brought it up. Like, they have been dealing with injuries all season.
Right.
Like, if everybody, and maybe nobody in the NBA has this situation, but if everybody that was supposed to be there is there, you've got maybe one spot for somebody to come in. Like, because you'd have Kevin there. You'd have
Trey
Lyles there. And I guess you figure out what you're doing with Alex Lynn, J Mac, all those guys. You know, maybe there is room for another guy or
you
two.
You didn't even say Keon.
Keon. I forgot about Keon.
Oh, well, yeah, so did Mike.
I know I was forgetting somebody. I mean, that's eight guys right there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 9, 10, you figure some stuff
but they've
out.
Never been they've never been able to operate with those guys.
No.
They've never been able to operate with, like, this second unit is Kevin, Trey, and Keon.
Right.
Well, like, when Kevin's here, though, he's shooting 31% from three. Like, Trey was shooting 33. Like, they weren't cutting it when it was here when they were here too.
I think Kevin is up to 31%.
Well, yeah, he starts at 28 at some point. I think. Well,
and then, but
a lot of that is now that he's been moved to the second group or the bench, however you want to phrase it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like over the last few years we've been probably the last 2 years because Kevin had a good first year or whatever, but even with we've been kind of like we've been waiting for this team to just do it and get over the hump, and I feel like waiting for this, like, these bench guys at this point to just figure it out, like, we're waiting too long at this point. I think it's time to move on.
The other thing that I would say, though, is
we've talked about trading Kevin Herter or Lyles or, like, upgrading off the bench in offseason. It's like, all right, maybe you wait. Like, they've waited and waited, and we're still having the same conversations.
Yeah. But the other thing that I would say and that I believe is, and maybe it's two different conversations because maybe Jesse's talking about, like, championship or conference finals or something like that. But I think they absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, have enough on this roster to be better than where they're at today. Do you agree with that, Jesse? Like, I understand, like, if you want to do more than – yeah, maybe you need to upgrade that bench or whatever. But to be better than 13 and 14, to be four games over 500, they have enough on this roster.
The way I see it, the way things are going right now, if they just stick with what this is, you'll get to the play-in, I think. But I don't know if you get to the playoffs.
Even that is, once again, though, even that is, what were they, 10 games over 500 last year as a play-in team?
Well, fine. Maybe you're getting in a few games over 500. I don't think they're going on a run where it's like, all right, Kings are 10 games over. I don't see that run happening where they're back. Like, the Kings are back. I don't see that.
No, maybe not. But my whole point is, with what they don't need something to be better than what they are right now, in my opinion.
You know what the funny thing about what you just said is? The run where with what they have, or not, with addition, whatever you want. Mm. The idea that the Kings make a run to where, you know, they're like, okay, now we're in a position to compete for the top six. All they have, they could play, it could be the exact same games. They just win the close ones.
What are they?
It could be the same exact everything we see, mm-hmm. except DeMar catches the ball cleanly, mm-hmm. dunks it. Some of the silly stuff at the end of the Toronto game doesn't happen. Mm-hmm.
San Antonio is another one.
You keep Ant-Man. Ant-Man misses that crazy three. Mm-hmm. Just slight differences. Teams playing exactly the same. Frustrations are still the same. They just close out a few of these close games, and that's how they can go. That's not wholesale changes. Mm-hmm. That's not a big drastic turnaround. Now, maybe Mike publicly isn't talking about the little details. Like, what would the... Again, that was 3 minutes and 50 seconds of Mike Brown talking last night without a question. That was his monologue. He normally opens up with, and I know everyone is sick of hearing it, credit to insert opponent here, and eventually Mike got to it. They did what they had to do. They were tougher than we were, and then he lays out a few mistakes, and then we're on to James Hamm and the crew asking questions. 3 minutes and 50 seconds. What would the conversation have been last night? How long would the monologue have been? Would the note about detail after detail after detail, would that have been addressed last night if DeMar catches that pass cleanly, dunks it like we all think he's going to, and the Kings win 131-130? I doubt it would have been. Publicly. Privately, he's saying the same things to him. Guys, we gave up 41 points in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Guys, I don't know that this is factual. I think all 41 came on Aaron Gordon dunks. It felt like he just kept dunking the basketball in the first quarter with no Sacramento King in sight. And I think he tells them that privately. But what's he say publicly? The public sentiment could be very different, while the private sentiment remained exactly the same. But we're talking about the smallest of changes mm-hmm. that we question whether they can get to or not.
And also to the argument of needing more on the bench, those situations that you just laid out, those close game situations, and what we saw last night, that's not on the bench. Starting off down 24-6, that's not a bench problem. Not execute, not getting stops in the final 4 minutes of the game, bench ain't on the court for you at that point. Even though Keon might have been out there at that specific time. But that's your winning time. That's your starters. Close games, mm-hmm. like you mentioned. Like that's on your guys. That's on your guys right there. And I could easily say they're 3-9. I could say, hey, flip that 9-3. They're 500. What if they're just 6-6? You know what I mean? Like that's why I look at this, what they're doing right now, and what we're asking from this team right now, which is to go on a run. Hey, I asked from this homestand. Go 4-1. You'll be 500. They should not need Cam Johnson or Finney Smith to get 500.
Mm.
These guys that they have here should be able to execute that and get to that point.
Let's get Vince in here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's happening, Vince?
Hey, I think Kenny's the only guy who's making sense here because this is not a roster problem. If you look at it, look at the Kings starters. They have three All-Pros, an All-First-Team rookie who hasn't been developed very well, in my opinion, and they have a perennial second or third guy in the voting for All-Six-Man. Now he's starting. That's good enough to win more than 500, more than half your game. The problem is the Kings don't have a system after 2.5 years of this regime. They don't have a system that can plug and play guys around your main guys because there's plenty of talent in the NBA, and they don't have a good rotation that's reliable. Even Kevin Huerter said, yeah, man, I play a lot better when I know when I'm going to play. So I think that's the deal. It's really they got to get their act together with the coaching staff.
Hold on, Vince. So you're saying the trouble is the way Mike is using the bench and not necessarily the guys on it?
Yes, the way he's using it, he gets this guy McLaughlin who plays really well for a backup point guard for two games, and then he doesn't see the court. Keon is all-world defensively one game. The next game, we all forget his name. But beyond that, remember when Adelman was here? we got guys beyond the main guys. We plug and play different guys every year. Injuries didn't matter if your main guys were healthy. But we don't have a system that allows for that, and we don't have any consistency.
Okay. I actually don't have any problem with what he said.
I don't either. And
well, of course you don't. Kenny's the only one around here making any goddamn sense.
Yeah, Kenny's so great. Wow, yes. Wow.
Wow.
Kenny.
Call in to the Kenny Caraway show at 916-909-1313.
Kenny, why don't you come run the board, Kenny? How about that?
No, call in to the Kenny Caraway talk line at 916-909-1313.
Me and Dealer just chop liver again. Again, it happens.
Yeah, no, hit us up in the chatty house brought to you by Kenny Caraway.
Me and Dealer show up late? Oh, you jackasses. I'm going to fire you. Kenny shows up late. Standing ovation.
Standing ovation.
Happened again.
Yeah, no, Kenny only one around here making any damn sense.
Yeah.
No, so enlighten us, Kenny.
Well, what I was going to say is he's actually saying two different – or not two different things. He's saying two – he's making two points in that call where, like, yeah, I think they have enough. They've got enough. Like, you name those five starters. I know we want Cam Johnson. You shouldn't be a game under 500, 27 games in with the starting five that they have.
Yeah.
Like, you just should not be. But at the same time, you talk about like having a system of guys and being able to plug and play. That's where that does get to Monty McNair. You know, you've got to get guys
and
Wes Wilcox. You got to get guys that if somebody goes down, like, yeah, you just plug in this guy and he can play. It happened last night with Denver. Denver, you know, Christian Brown wasn't able to go.
Mm-hmm.
They just plugged in one of their guys. Mm-hmm. He stepped in and had a productive night, either one of those three guys that we mentioned earlier. And the Kings don't have that. You know, one guy goes down and it all goes to hell. Or all of a sudden, you know, this other guy has to, you know, another starter or something like that has to completely carry the load for Keegan being out or Kevin Herter being down or something like that. So, yeah, I think they have once again, being very specific, they have enough to be better than one game under 500. They don't need to add anybody to be better than one game under 500. Now, if you want to be a team that has aspirations of, you know, getting to a conference finals or winning a round in a playoff, I'll absolutely listen to the fact that you need to add to the roster. But where they're at right now is unacceptable for what they have. In my opinion,
when you lose, this is the first 96 minutes of the show. This is just the nature of losing. But man, it's really a shame again that we're 96 minutes into this and just now mentioning the game Domantas Sabonis had against Nikola Jokic. Domas was phenomenal yesterday. Mm-hmm. Domas' season continues to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
28-14-6 yesterday. And I just tell Kings fans, do not take what this dude does on a night-to-night basis for granted. Keith Smith tweeted it the other day. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get lulled into. This is just how good this guy is day after day after day, night after night after night. This was the 32-20 night.
Yeah,
this dude just put up 32-20. Like, that's not a normal stat line. Domas is phenomenal, whether he gets the attention he deserves or he doesn't. He's phenomenal.
I'm genuinely asking, like, has there been, besides Jokic, a player better than him at his position this year?
No.
He's dominant. Like, not just playing well, he's dominant. Yeah.
No.
He's
not even close.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I haven't seen enough of him, AD, you know, what he's done when he's been out there. But you talk about better. He might have been just as good. I can't think of anybody that's been better than Domantas Sabonis this year at that position. Just, I haven't been the guy. There's guys that can, oh, yeah, he's good, too. He's having a great year. But, nah, he's definitely been better than Domas. I think it's just Jokic. He's been fantastic. And he was great last night. He visually exhibited the desperation that we all look for, you know? And I put emphasis on, like, that we can see visually, because that doesn't mean that DeMar or De'Aaron or somebody else wasn't desperate to win just because they didn't fist pump or anything like that. But we could see Domas trying to will that team to victory last night emotionally. And I wish they would have got the win last night with the way he played, with the way Fox closed out in that game, the way Malik Monk played last night. Malik was sensational. We haven't talked about him either. What was he, 22-10?
Yeah.
Last night? I mean, this guy has been fantastic. Excuse me, 25-10 last night. Yeah.
Somehow De'Aaron finished with 29.
Yeah, he did a lot of work in that fourth quarter and in the third quarter as well, because he didn't start off that
high. He absolutely did not. I think he had 12 first half points. I don't know what he scored in the third, but it absolutely feels like he scored 50 in the fourth, mm-hmm. all from like the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Not the free throw line, but the free throw line.
No, never the free throw
line. No, never that.
What he took?
He took six last night. Well, hey, credit to the Kings, 19 of 20 last night. Mm-hmm. Again, there's some good. 19 of 20.
That's the frustrating thing, because they did a lot of good things in that game. I think they did. They did a lot of good things in that game to get back into that game, to take the lead. When they're up 10 with 4 minutes to go, I'm thinking about doing the show tomorrow and how, you know, they're going to get a bunch of flowers for what they were able to overcome, you know, and how they dug down and, you know, found a way to get that win. And at that time, it felt like get the win going away.
Yeah.
And the fact that
it was a glorious moment when we thought they were going to get the win going
yeah.
away.
And the fact that that wasn't able to happen. Yeah, that sucks. That sucks, man. They had an opportunity. I see somebody. Jesse asked the question, who's having a better season than Domas? And G-Money01 and Kyle's right. Some of the national media will say Sengun.
Oh, stop it.
Absolutely not.
Stop it. Sengun, very good.
Very good.
Yeah, very good.
He may be on the list of somebody that's having as good of a season.
I don't think he's having as good of a season.
I don't think so either.
He's good.
But if you want to be nice, you can say that. To say he's having a better season.
You want to be a liar, you can say it too.
To say he's having a better season is asinine. It is.
Also, Domas is a forward. I forgot. So let's blow this whole argument up.
Tim Duncan style.
Isn't that what Baxter Holmes' article said? No, it's like the Sacramento Kings do everything forward, because that's not a shot at Baxter Holmes at all. That's what the NBA has him listed as.
Yeah.
He's never played a single game in a Sacramento Kings career as a forward, but okay, bro. Whatever y'all say.
Actually, we take that back. He did play a game as a forward. Do you remember
that game? Wait a minute. wait, did Alex Len start? Did Alex Len start it?
This
right?
was recently too.
That was the Timberwolves game.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. My bad. It was a good call right there.
That was crazy.
It was a good call right
if
there.
You guys could have seen D'Lo's face at the rail yards when we saw that Alex Len was starting.
Who was out that game?
Was it DeMar? Yeah, because DeMar got hurt on that Wednesday. They played on that Friday night.
Yeah. That was the 60, right?
Yeah.
Alex Len, 8 minutes and 33 seconds in that game. Trey Lyles played 41. Malik was still out, too.
Yeah, he was.
There's no Malik. There's no DeMar. And De'Aaron goes for 60 in that one, where Alex Len starts as center. Mm. And the forward goes for 23-12 in that one. What a weird-ass season it's been, man.
Really has. 13-14 after 27 games. Damn it.
We'll come back. Trista Crick's got ideas.
TK!
She says she's got the perfect player. We'll talk to TK when she joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
All right, man.
What happened, Kenny?
They know how to get under Kenny's skin. Well, I swear to God, they know how to get under Kenny's skin.
I can't believe this. I can't believe that was typed out. That's crazy.
What was typed out, Kenny?
Well, it was during a commercial break. It don't have to be said.
Right there.
All right.
David Lopez is saying it's killing KC that the Cowboys are better than the 49ers right now. All right. Oh, man.
I can't believe I'm going to utter this sentence, but we got a clip from the Draymond Green show everybody wants to hear.
Oh, boy.
We keep getting tagged in this on social media, so we'll just play it for you. Here's De'Aaron Fox on the Draymond Green show with Baron Davis, which that's funny.
What was the motivation for you to pass on the extension?
For me, man, it has all to do with the team, the organization. Where are we going? I want to make sure that we're in a position to try to win in the future, because that's ultimately what I want to do. Like, I feel like I'm continuing to get better as a player every year. But for me, it's, are we looking like we're continuing to get better year after year? And are we going to be able to compete at a high level? Totally. And that's all mine is. Like, if we can show that this year, like, you know, you sign the extension now. If not, like, I still have another year, but that's where my mindset is. I love the city. Like, I love being here. I've raised my family here. I would love to be here and retire here. I mean, how many people can say they played in one organization for their whole career? Like,
right.
I want to be a part of that select few people. But at the end of the day, I also want to win.
There you have it.
Understandable. I mean,
didn't say anything crazy there.
No, man, not at all. And they've got to figure out a way to turn this season around. Because if they don't, I mean, a lot of people are gone. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And I know a lot of people talk about, oh man, you know, we don't want Vivek, you know, getting an impulse to insert, you know, his thoughts and, you know, and start meddling and all this other stuff. Well, he'd be well within his right. This is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Last season was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it a couple of weeks ago. I understand if he said, you know what, I'm tired of this. Yeah. I understand completely. I'm not even here to say it's the right or wrong thing. I'm just saying I understand. Let the basketball people do basketball things. They've done it for a year and a half, and where has it gotten us?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let's get Mitch in here. Trista going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, just a couple minutes from now. Mitch, what's happening, buddy?
Merry Christmas, Damon. Merry Christmas to you too, also, KC.
Merry Justin, Christmas, Mitch.
Everybody out there.
Thanks, Mitch.
Yeah, on the chat room, somebody knows at the drones, they're full of it. I don't pay any attention to it. This has to be some gimmick. Mm. No life out there. Don't worry about it. Just something to talk about. Right?
I hear you, Mitch.
And before I get the football, the Kings got to make a trade. Got to get a big guy or something. Come on. Jordan's kind of small. But get the rotation. If you're not going to make a trade, you got to rest some of these starters, I guess. You can't wait till the season's two-thirds over and you're like 20 games below. Now, last night's games, I don't know what Atlanta's doing. Get the rookie in from Washington. I mean, the Kirk Cousins has guaranteed money for those 4 years. That is highway ripoff. He's going to be like Soto. Soto's not going to earn his money. Once Soto down 15 years and I'm still around.
Okay.
Highway ripoff. Highway ripoff is hilarious.
You guys ever been highway ripped off before?
Is that getting mugged on the highway? Like, what is that?
I think that's like picking up some, what do they call the people that stick their thumbs out on the side of the road?
A hitchhiker.
Yeah, picking up a hitchhiker and he beats you up or something. I don't know. He steals some money from you.
Highway ripoff is spectacular.
Highway ripoff. I mean, a ripoff is more, it's not even like, it's not necessarily getting robbed. It's like getting tricked.
Highway ripoff is just going through the tolls, maybe?
Yeah. So, like, if you go through the tolls and they say it's $2, but oh man, you went at this speed, so that moves up to
25.
Yeah, that's a ripoff. It's like kind of it's kind of sneaky and subtle. It's not as brutal as a mugging.
Mm. Either way, though, we don't have to worry about the drones, fellas. We're good. Mitch says, do not worry about the drones. It's all a gimmick. We're good.
It's a gimmick.
Yes. He said it's a bit, whatever he said. He says, don't worry about it. All right, don't worry about it.
Dude, that's what he said.
Okay. Mitch says it, I'm good.
Will Z pulled these numbers for us. Aaron Gordon had 5 dunks last night. Mm. 3 of them were in the first 7 minutes.
Jeez. I mean,
coming into last night, he had 12 dunks across 12 games. That was a Sacramento Kings issue last night. That was not the Denver Nuggets and Aaron Gordon.
Wow.
That was the Sacramento Kings last night.
That more to coming out not being ready to play, not paying attention to what's going on. You know, somebody just coming out with more more energy than you, more intensity than you. That's what that tells me. Guy running around dunking left and right. That means you guys are doing a lot of standing around. It's not that easy to get a dunk. I know it looks easy, like we feel like we see, but like it's not, you don't just dunk at will.
Yeah.
Like,
how easy is it to get a dunk without a single opponent in sight?
Oh, easy.
Oh.
You can probably do that 3 times in the first quarter.
Well,
7 times overall.
It's good to know because, boy, it looked easy last night. Goodness gracious.
Mm.
I don't know if we missed anything with this game. I can't believe we've been talking about this same game for an hour and 54 minutes.
What do you think we're talking about?
We haven't even been talking about the game. We've been talking about the circumstances of this basketball team.
How are we feeling if DeMar doesn't fumble it? Because like he was going to dunk that right there. That was easy win.
Yeah, the Kings win. Yeah, feel like good. That's four. Great. Yeah, it's 4 straight wins. Now, and you beat Denver. You beat Houston. Like, okay, like I think we've got something here. Mm-hmm. You've got 2 huge games against the Lakers coming up, and then you'll deal with the second night of a back-to-back mm-hmm. with the Pacers. But, yeah, like, last night's win, that would have been huge.
Yeah.
There's a point where, like, coming out of that game, it's the hole they've dug themselves, but you don't want to leave too encouraged. But I wasn't too upset at the way it went, I guess. Just being out with Keegan before the game and all that, Kevin's not playing. And I've said what I said about Kevin, but you do need him out there for no one else. It's just, it sucks that they're 13 and 14 at this point.
Yeah.
No, I agree 100%. And I feel like, well, it goes to kind of what I've spoken about. Like, I do think they have the talent to, once again, be better than what they are right now. Like, if we're looking for them to come out of this homestand or maybe come out of the month of December, you know, 4 games over 500, I think they can do that as is. You know, is that good enough to win around in the playoffs if they're able to get there? That's debatable. I can absolutely somebody saying no, not at all. But I do think they have, with Malik there and the way he's playing and him being inserted into the starting lineup, I think they have enough to like kind of get on the good foot. And through everything that's gone on today, last night, they're still like in line to get on the good foot. They had won 4 or 5. Now they won 4 or 6. You play good in these next 4 games at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's going to sneeze at 7-3 in your last 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's over the course of time, that's some good basketball being played. And they still have that at their fingertips. But last night was just upsetting.
It's kind of the balance of what we do here with this show, and really what I think a lot of us do with this job. It's the balance of the immediate reaction and then the long-term reaction.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate reaction is the frustration of losing that game by 1 point. The long-term reaction is, if you want this team to get going and establish winning ways, it's still very much within the realm of possibility. But it starts, it was a lot like, you know, the games, it starts now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go out and you've got to beat the Los Angeles Lakers.